Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Good day, everyone. On Product-Led Growth Leaders today, we have a special guest, another Thomas, not just me today, but Thomas Pelayo. Thomas Pelayo has a background in cloud architecture, cloud technologies, and has done a lot of different strategy types of roles, and today is a COO, and I'm excited to talk with him about his work. And if I got anything wrong there, feel free to correct me there. But Thomas, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, man. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so let's start off, Thomas, talking about just a little bit about your background and kind of what led you to being a product leader.
Yeah, I think I started out my career more hands-on, first doing like IT help desk stuff way back in the day. Kind of got into DevOps and working in the cloud, kind of on the cutting edge when CI/CD was getting big like 15 years ago. And then I think all through those roles, I saw program management and then product management as kind of being a forward-looking role that was really focused on, you know, solving problems. And I just have been interested in my career about kind of solving more and more complex problems. I think, you know, that feedback loop of identifying an issue and solving it is something that I find really satisfying. And product is a great place to do that because you can do it for customers and you can do it for the business kind of simultaneously and kind of see the value going to both sides. So that's kind of, you know, something that I enjoy, and that's what led me into the product space.
Right. So in your current role, my understanding is that you don't work on one product, you help out or you advise on a variety of products.
In my current role, I oversee kind of the product strategy and operations of the online casino division at Caesars Entertainment. So we offer iOS, web, and Android casino in 5 states in North America, both in like standalone apps and also as part of a mobile sports betting product. So that's the product that I'm responsible for today.
Yeah. So being in the gaming world, I kind of want to get to that, because when I had, you know, my background as a UX person working a lot in enterprise software, and when I started getting some clients in the gaming world, I noticed that there were some differences to the way people approached designing, building things. Is there anything significant there, industry-wise, with gaming versus other areas?
When it comes to casino gaming, there's a few different things. One, the first thing that's really important to product is the fact that it's a heavily regulated industry. So there are gaming companies, you know, casino gaming companies that operate not based in the US that are considered gray market that are not regulated. But Caesars is definitely a heavily regulated US based company. And so there are, you know, everything that we do has to be approved by state boards, and has to be reviewed and is governed by laws that are several years old. So that's one constraint that we work underneath, is just making sure we stay appropriately within the regulations. And then the second thing is, when you think about how the player is interacting with the games, there's two elements. One is kind of the design that they see in front of them. If you think of a slot game or something, you know, how appealing is the interaction? But the other one is quite literally how the math of the game works, different type of math and the way it interacts. You know, it's not just how they win, but how different outcomes are achieved has a huge effect on the experience and even just how long it takes to deal cards or spin the slot. So there's a visual aspect, and then there's also kind of a math and timing aspect that go into the design. So I think the online gaming industry, very interesting, dealing with the regulations, dealing with the visual, and then dealing with kind of just the math and everything that goes into it, that all really affects kind of the player experience.
So, you know, being a product person and being a strategy person, you have to have a mentality of innovation, right? And the team has to have an innovation mentality. Simultaneously, you're dealing in a very heavily regulated industry. Is there a conflict or a friction between the move fast and break things, kind of, you know, do any kind of innovative kind of blue sky type of idea versus the simultaneous need to make sure that you're doing things right and you're kind of going by the book? And I'm, you know, sure you probably have a legal department that kind of has a lot to say about the products that you can come up with. Is there a conflict there, and how do you handle that kind of conflict?
I think there is a conflict, but the online gaming industry is somewhat new. Like overall, I would say, like, if you think about kind of sports betting in online gaming, they've become big in the last decade. And so there's a lot of product to build before I think we start running into the constraints. Like we're still growing, you know, quite significantly. There's a lot of things that we can do and innovate and build and make a really great experience for customers before, like, I'm really concerned about that, because we're just not getting off into some like crazy new greenfield sort of like, let's innovate, you know, from scratch, like, area. We have a lot of value we can deliver to customers, like, before we're kind of at that point, if that answer makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And so, let's talk about, go back to the kind of like multiple products that you, you know, influence and stuff like that. What kinds of methods do you use if you're kind of doing strategy for multiple products? Because, you know, again, if you're a product manager and you've got your mind focused on one product and, you know, that's kind of your baby and you're watching it grow and you're nurturing it and you're having the team kind of work around it and you have a consistent vision. But with what you're doing, you kind of have to take a step back and have a larger scale strategy, I imagine, and then kind of manage the strategies, the individual strategies of multiple things, or not manage it, but influence it however you do.
Yeah. I think it goes back to knowing like what the core is of the value that we want to deliver to players, because even though they're products on different platforms and we're delivering, you know, through casino on a sports book and also like standalone casinos, at the end of the day, our goal is to provide, you know, entertainment value to customers. Like, they come to the, you know, casino to be entertained. And so the overall product vision is kind of the same. And then the way that we measure and think about success is the same across the products. And so that's at the highest level. So I think it starts there. And then with each product, of course, you need to dive in and understand what are the nuances of kind of the customer base and the players that are there. But the outcome we're driving to is the same. So I think that, you know, being really clear on that kind of unifying factor is probably where I would start.
Yeah. And then do you play a role in kind of the culture, in the innovative culture, the mindset of kind of the team, and get an opportunity to coach people, or is your role different from that?
Yeah, I do spend quite a bit of time doing that. I think, you know, we have goals as a business to, you know, keep growing, and it's a competitive industry with a lot of other operators out there, like BetMGM and FanDuel and DraftKings. And so we've got, you know, product managers that are kind of responsible for their different line of business and area. And I meet with them regularly, because the goal is to, you know, for us to keep growing and be successful in a competitive market. And it takes a whole team effort to do that. So we have to keep like a kind of a laser focus on that. So it definitely takes a push across the entire team. You know, growing in market share is not something that just happens by accident. So you've got to be very intentional about the strategy to achieve that.
Does data analytics play a role in your steering of the product you guys utilize? And a lot of times it's like mature companies maybe have a, you know, established system for saying, you know, people use the product and we're using, you know, whatever tools to gather usage data about how people are using it, and then allowing that to steer.
There's kind of two elements of that with the casino business. One is kind of there's the product metrics, right? Like, how are they interacting with the lobby and the application? You know, where are customers naturally drawn to? Like, are there problem areas? Like, there's that sort of kind of event-based product metrics. And then the other side is the games themselves, like that they're playing and how satisfying they're finding those. And that's kind of like a different axis, right? And that's one that like really drives the business, because playing the games is kind of like where the revenue growth comes through. So we definitely look at both sides of those coin, the coin, to understand like, how are they interacting with the product itself, to like open the app, get in the casino, find games, how is search working, how are like the features of the app working. And then the second is like, how are the individual games performing, and how delightful are players finding those experiences in the games.
And so when you do that, is it, how much of it for you guys is based kind of on that automated, inflow of data? Or do you have kind of a research operation that you then go in and surgically find something? Because one of the ways it works often is we observe a whole bunch of things, then we see a few interesting things, and we send in the researchers to find more specific details about how that pans out. Does that play a role?
Most of it's automated. We do have a small research team that focuses on some of the more long-term things that we want to gain an understanding of, but we also believe that product managers should be doing research and getting involved themselves. For example, in a couple of months, we're going to take the product team to go on site to one of our brick and mortar casinos, and then meet with customers there that are also using the online application, and do some in-person discovery with them. And we've got some targeted things that we want to find out. And so I think it's important, we have a research component, and that's very valuable. We have the automated data, but we also believe like the individual teams and product managers themselves need to be getting in front of customers and having conversations with them and understanding, something hands-on, and not just kind of like from a white paper or a customer overview or persona or something of that nature.
Right. And so can you tell me about a strategic decision that you've made? And you could be as general or specific as you want, but a point in time where you have to make a strategic decision on a product where that kind of changes, the trajectory between two possible futures.
I'll talk about one just at a role before this one. I was working at a company that serves kind of a lot of different industries, and our product roadmap was just like extremely overloaded. And it was a startup, and we were trying to figure out, how can we, how best to kind of prioritize the roadmap. And did a strategic exercise between like the product team and then kind of like a business planning team, where we took a look at each of the industries we were trying to serve, and did kind of okay, between the product team, between the business team, between customer success, between sales, like how ready are we to win in this industry, like from a product perspective, from a sales perspective, from a customer success perspective. And then like, what's the opportunity size, like how big is the market in that industry? And kind of had a lot of analysis around that, and narrowed our focus from like five industries down to one industry for the rest of the year, because that was the industry that we felt, hey, all the kind of departments are closest to being able to win, kind of like in, obtaining new opportunities, taking care of customer success tickets, getting the product ready, but also had enough of an opportunity. And that allowed us to kind of like get some of the features out of the door, start winning, in that industry, and then kind of move back into the areas that we had stepped back from in the following year. So that was kind of a whole, it's not just a product analysis, right? It's like it's across every department, like, where are we ready to win, and what's the opportunity?
And you found that that worked, that, this, making that decision between being more focused versus more spread out.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely worked. I think, getting really kind of like being really honest between all the departments, because in that case, it's like, maybe sales was like a little bit, felt like they could sell into one industry a little bit more easily. Maybe customer success felt like in another industry, the product was, better ready to support, and so they had less tickets. But when we kind of looked at it holistically together, we were able to find, what's the common ground between all of us that we think the product team and the technology team delivering some features into this year would deliver the most value. So kind of doing it as that group exercise, really ended up being a lot more successful than just kind of the product managers doing it in a vacuum, without the buy-in of the other, the rest of the company.
And when you talk about all these different roles intersecting, it just makes me think about how, in any role, we have to deal with the tactical daily needs all of the time. And you have your vision on one hand, and we have the goals that we want to achieve, and we try to keep that on the radar, but you constantly have new things popping up on your plate. You have fires to put out. Do you have any methods or approaches to balancing the daily tactical needs of the stuff that in the short term needs, really, the need to get done, the need to keep the lights on, versus making sure that you keep something on the radar for the future, some kind of a compass of where are we going?
I have two comments. One, I think it teams need to measure that. So, I have typically employed a system where, at some level, like maybe, this depends on your company and your team, but maybe at the epic level, you're tracking like, what epics are kind of like, new product development versus like short term putting fire out type work, and look at a sort of mix and do like a monthly review. Like in a startup or a growing company, like at least 80% of your product technology team should be focused on new product development and feature development. So if that's not, then you're investing in the wrong areas. Like there's an issue. Like maybe you have a technical issue, there's technical debt in the platform and incidents, or like what it, it depends on your company. But when you're in a growth stage, like at least 80% of your time should be focused on that. Whereas like as you become more of an enterprise company, it might be something more like 40 or 45%. Like that number is going to go down as you kind of change in the life cycle of the product. So I think that's the first thing you, I think often people can get caught up in feeling like, oh, I'm putting out fires all the time, or I'm making short-term versus a long-term trade-off. But if you're not finding some way to actually like measure it and look at it across the entire organization, like you can't really have an honest conversation about it. And so I think that's the first thing. And then the second thing I would say is just more kind of like culturally. I feel, product teams need to have a really key understanding that our job is to deliver value to customers and create value for them, but it's also to deliver value back to the business. And if you don't understand how your product area as a leader and product manager impacts the business, you can't help assess those trade-offs. Like, what is a new product feature that you're working on actually bringing the business versus like what is putting a fire out? You need to be able to have a really intelligent conversation about that so that you can advocate appropriately. But you have to understand the connection between what your product drives and value to a customer and how that translates to the business outcome. If you can't tell that story convincingly as a product manager, you can't accurately weigh yourself like the trade-offs of short-term versus long-term. So those are kind of two things. One, you need to look at your org holistically and actually measure how are we performing in this area? And then second, as an individual, you need to be really well versed in what the trade-off is, and what your product area does to impact the business.
That's really good. So, yeah, what I'm gathering is that measure it first so you can have any. And I imagine that that would break down as here's the number of stories or whatever per sprint or whatever. And is the story like almost a flag? Like this story is a kind of a maintenance to the current product kind of thing versus this is
Exactly. I've
actually.
been places where we've just done epics with like two categories. I've been places where there's like seven categories at the, it kind of depends on the people you've got around. Like I always advocate for less is more, but you have to have some, way of kind of talking about it and feeling confident in that discussion, whatever works for your organization.
Nice. That's wonderful. And now, kind of one question I have that's just kind of, a clarification for me is, so you've got casino gaming and then you've got kind of just gaming. How related or different are those two? Is that just different in my head? Now, as a design psychologist, I know some of the differences and things around habits and shaping behavior and things like that, but from like an industry perspective or from whatever perspective, is there a lot of cross-pollination between the two? Are they related,
So
unrelated?
there's kind of two, again, two things there. One is like in the I would say in the short term, like the next couple of years, there's not a lot of overlap. And the reason I would say that is because mostly online casino gaming right now is focused on bringing online games that are really successful in brick and mortar casinos, right? So blackjack, roulette, slots, right? There's all these sorts of games that we know work. The math is figured out. Customers love, they're looking for these games, okay? And then there's kind of like, if you take a more macro view, I'll give you two examples. One, this one's a really popular one that's discussed, which is loot boxes in video games. That's basically slots, but it's non-regulated. So like Caesars can never offer that because that's not a regulated gaming mechanism in the US. And so we couldn't offer that today. Okay. I mean, I think in Europe they're doing a lot of regulation around that. But anyhow, that's like a type of gambling that Caesars couldn't offer. And then the other thing to think about is just any game that's like a mobile game on your phone is really an entertainment for a customer, which is the same as online casino gaming. And like, let's take Candy Crush, for example. Ultimately, we're competing with Candy Crush for the same dollars that a customer is spending, right? They're spending it on power-ups to be entertained for a certain period of time in Candy Crush on their phone on the go while they're sitting, somewhere in a doctor's office versus like spinning a slot wheel. Like, so those they're, the games are a little bit different. We're not offering anything like that. We don't have plans to offer something like that, but ultimately it's a competitor in a way. And so maybe in 10 years, when you think about like what does the gaming industry look like in terms of casino gaming, it may evolve to ha offer many other types, depending on what happens, with regulations and kind of the legality of all that. But yeah, in the very near short term, I would say, we're really focused on bringing in the games that are available in brick and mortar that are well regulated, well understood, and kind of not the same as you would think of gaming in terms of a Counter-Strike or something like that.
Right. Nice. Well, Thomas Pelayo, really interesting conversation. Where can people find more about you and your work?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, so if you can figure out how to spell my last name, that's
Got
probably the best way to find and connect with me.
Palaio. Kind of
That's
reminded me
right.
of the word paleo, but Pelayo rhymes with Ohio.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us and to the audience. See you next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders.
Great.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.